This is World Report. Good morning. From CBC News, I'm David Michael Lamb. The U.S. president will announce a shift in America's relationship with the rest of the world today. In a speech, Donald Trump will describe his strategy to protect national security. It's expected to focus on creating competition over cooperation. Lindsay Duncombe has the details.
What Donald Trump's national security speech is expected to do today is to take that America First campaign promise and translate it into a strategic national security plan. What we'll hear from the president is a different view of how the United States should interact with countries around the world. Donald Trump and his administration view nations in a perpetual state of competition, and that will be especially relevant when we hear the president talk about both Russia and China. We can expect Donald Trump to talk about moving away from multinational agreements. And that isn't a surprise, but it certainly is a departure from what we've seen with the previous Obama administration. In a similar strategy document from 2015, the former President Obama identified climate change as an urgent and growing threat. That language won't be in this speech. Lindsay Duncombe, CBC News, Washington.
The bitter dispute between Bombardier and Boeing enters a critical phase today. Both appear before the U.S. International Trade Commission. Boeing claims it could be hurt by Bombardier's multi-billion dollar deal to sell its C-Series passenger jets to Delta Airlines. The U.S. had planned to impose a 300% duty on Bombardier, but Bombardier avoided that when European aerospace giant Airbus proposed to buy a majority stake in the C-Series. The deal includes building the jets in Alabama. Well, they were one of the wealthiest couples in Canada, and now Toronto's homicide unit is taking over the investigation into their deaths. Barry and Honey Sherman were found dead in their home on Friday. Police called the circumstances suspicious and ordered autopsies. Those results were released by investigators last night, and Linda Ward has the details.
The autopsy results say the cause of death was ligature neck compression. The homicide unit has now taken over what they're calling a suspicious death investigation. The Shermans were a well-known and well-respected couple, one of Canada's wealthiest families. But 3 days later, how they died is still the question everyone wants answered. A police source told CBC someone from outside the family found the bodies inside their Toronto mansion on Friday. Police said initially they weren't sure foul play was involved. There were no signs of forced entry into the home, and police had said they weren't looking for suspects. We have heard once from the Sherman family in response to some media reports quoting police sources saying the deaths were being investigated as a murder-suicide. In a statement released this weekend, they say they're shocked and think it's irresponsible that police sources have reportedly advised the media of a theory that neither the family, their friends, nor their colleagues believe to be true. Hoping for more information from Toronto police as to what happened to the couple today. Linda Ward, CBC News, Toronto.
Richard Wagner has been sworn in as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
I, Richard Wagner, do solemnly and sincerely promise and swear that I will duly and faithfully and to the best of my skill and knowledge execute the powers and trust reposed in me as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Canada. So help me God.
Wagner took his oath this morning during a ceremony at Rideau Hall. He was appointed to the top court 5 years ago, and he replaces Beverly McLaughlin, who retired as Chief Justice last week. The Canada Revenue Agency's efforts to go after tax cheats may not be exactly as the government portrays. Revelations in the Panama Papers and the Paradise Papers led to questions about the use of offshore tax shelters by Canadians. Elizabeth Thompson has the details on exactly who the government is investigating.
268 search warrants executed, 78 convictions.
It has become the government's standard response. For weeks, the opposition has asked why the Canada Revenue Agency isn't doing more to crack down on offshore tax evasion. Each time, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau or Revenue Minister Diane Leboutillier say they take offshore tax evasion very seriously. They say they're already getting results. But CBC News has learned that few, if any, of the 78 convictions the government cites are for offshore tax evasion. Instead of millionaires stashing money in tropical tax havens, those convicted over the past 2 years are more likely to be small businesses and accountants, or tax protesters who believe you don't have to pay tax if you declare yourself a natural person. CRA officials say some of the cases have links to money or assets offshore, but won't say how many. Le Boutillier's office says she never said all the convictions were for offshore tax evasion. Senator Percy Down says that's not what the government's answers initially led him to believe.
CRA is terribly ineffective in overseas tax evasion, and they become very misleading to Canadians trying to create the impression that they're doing something that they're not doing.
The CRA says it has stepped up its fight against tax cheats and expects convictions to increase in coming years. Elizabeth Thompson, CBC News, Ottawa.
A former firefighter will receive a public apology today, more than a decade after she shared her story. Leanne Tessier was a captain at a fire station in Nova Scotia. She says when her male colleagues tormented her, her complaints were dismissed. Now, the city of Halifax will apologize and acknowledge that women have faced widespread discrimination in its fire service. Shayna Luck has more.
Leanne Tessier's work as a firefighter earned her the rank of captain and national awards, but the toughest fight of her life was against her own employer. In 2006, she complained about demeaning, abusive behavior from colleagues. That included having her firefighting gear repeatedly tampered with. The fire service dismissed her claims, so she went to the Provincial Human Rights Commission, which also dismissed her. Tessier went to court and managed to get the Human Rights Commission to rehear her case. The second time, it concluded she deserved a public hearing. That was set to happen 2 months ago, but by then, Tessier says the climate had changed. The city agreed to settle. Tessier gets an undisclosed amount of money, the right to tell her story, and an apology, which goes out to all women who suffered discrimination in the city's fire service. Now 53, Tessier says this should have happened a long time ago.
And I think that a lot of times they thought that women give up. And they do give up because of the backlash and retaliation is too much. And I think they were a little arrogant, thinking that I would sort of just fold up and die and go away.
Tessier is no longer a firefighter. She says the 12-year battle took her to the brink of suicide. But with this apology comes her vindication. Shayna Luck, CBC News, Halifax.
Well, the lights are back on at the world's busiest airport. Passengers in Atlanta cheered when the power was restored late last night. It suddenly went out 11 hours earlier, halting all operations. More than 1,000 flights were grounded and thousands of people stranded.
Everybody was just kind of shocked, and then it just kind of went on with it because we thought it was going to, come back really soon.
We get to the airport, and we arrive to darkness and a million people, but it's not Delta's fault.
Things happened. The power went out, understandable, but not to have a backup plan, nobody coming out telling us what's going on.
Flights resumed this morning, but it'll take days to return to normal operations and clear the backlog. City officials have confirmed a fire at an underground electrical station knocked out the power, but it's still not known what caused the fire. A slight break for firefighters in Southern California. Calmer winds have allowed them to make gains against the biggest wildfire in the state, the Thomas Fire. It's been threatening the city of Santa Barbara. Steve Futterman has the latest.
The winds have calmed down a bit the past 24 hours, but they are not going away. And no one is willing to predict what this fire will do next. A week ago, it appeared the worst was over. But this weekend, the fire came back to life, buffeted by erratic winds that pushed flames in all different directions. At one point this weekend, the fire was moving down hillsides towards large exclusive residential areas in Santa Barbara. Fire crews were not sure what they could do, but they went on the attack on the ground and from the air, and with the winds easing ever so slightly, they were able to stop the advancement. Since the Thomas Fire began nearly 2 weeks ago, at least 750 homes have been destroyed. Steve Futterman for CBC News, Ventura, California.
The European Union is opening an in-depth probe into IKEA's corporate tax structure. It says the retailer may have been given unfair tax advantages in the Netherlands. Under EU law, member states are not allowed to give selective tax benefits to one company and not others. The EU has already looked into Amazon, McDonald's, Starbucks, and Apple. And in the Apple case, it found the company received about $18 billion worth of unfair tax breaks. And that is World Report for this hour. Remember, news is available anytime at our website, cbcnews.ca, including more on Donald Trump's plan to unveil his America First security strategy, which will be announced in about 3 hours' time. I'm David Michael Lamb.